Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. How many of you know and sense that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is here this morning? Doesn't always happen that way. I'm thankful that He is here. We're going to embark again upon the truth about truth sermon series this morning, and we're in Genesis chapter 1. And if we can get a little Holy Ghost help today, we're going to unpack why did God create humanity? Why did God create humanity? We've learned a lot of great truths and been reminded of some excellent truths over the last several weeks. We've talked about some doctrinal issues with God and who God is and what God's all about and how He's three in one. We've learned about that the Bible is God's inerrant, infallible, inspired word. It's authoritative for what we believe and what we practice. We talked about where the books of the Bible come from. We've talked about a lot about truths that we've forgotten about. But this morning, I want us to look at why did God create humanity? And, you know, Genesis 2:7 says that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God created Adam, the first man. And when God created Eve, he put Adam to sleep and performed the first surgery, took a rib out of Adam's side, and from that rib made Eve, created Eve. And Genesis 3:20 declares that Eve was the first mother of humanity, and we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. I know, wasn't it a high water mark for us a couple weeks ago when we learned that we did not evolve from some primordial soup, and that our closest relatives are not monkeys? Wasn't that good news? And so we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. They're real historical figures. And the Bible even gives, did y'all know in Luke chapter 2, the Bible gives the genealogy from Jesus all the way back to Adam? I want to tell you, we came from the Garden of Eden. That's where we come from. And so if you could trace your family tree today, you'd wind up with Adam and Eve. But the question comes to my mind this morning, why would God create any of us knowing the mess that we would make of things? Why would God create any of us? I mean, like the psalmist said, what is man that you are mindful of him? If you were God and you knew how rebellious we would be and how selfish, lustful, idolatrous, how prideful and immoral would be, would you have created humanity? Would you? If you were God and knew what we would do to your son, would you have created humanity? Well, our text for the morning provides some wonderful truths and insights about why God created us. Look at your neighbor, and I mean look at him and tell him, you are not a piece of junk. I'm looking at some of you spouses and yeah, you're having trouble with this. Let's all stand as we honor God's word. Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Woo, y'all gonna have to listen up fast. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us, did you hear that? Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. Hadn't God been good? And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. Say, very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And may God add His blessing to the reading and the teaching and the preaching of His Word this morning. Please be seated. If you're taking notes, you're going to have to write fast. And if you're listening, you're going to have to listen fast. God, first of all, created humanity. He created man. Now, when I use man in that term, girls, I'm talking about all of us, okay? And so when God created man, humanity, He created us, first of all, for representation. Did you see what verse 26 said? Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. The Bible declares that the divine Trinity was having a conversation before the foundation of the world. And did y'all know that God talks to Himself? I'm kind of nosy. And I see some of you all every now and then having a conversation with yourself. Maybe it's better than having it. Well, anyways. But you can do that when you're 3 and 1. God's having a conversation with Himself. And He says, let's make man in our own image and in our likeness. And so what does it mean to be made in God's image? What does it mean to be made in His likeness? Well, I'm glad you asked. Mankind is made in God's nature. We're made in His person, His personality, in His moral and spiritual capacity, in His emotions, His intellect, His, His conscience and His will. We are not made like animals. You are not an animal. No matter what somebody tells you, what animal reads and writes? Now, some of y'all are going to come up to me afterwards and tell me, but now my dog can read. No. What animal has the capacity to judge between right and wrong? What animal has the capacity to worship his or her creator? What animal has the capacity to judge between what's right and what's wrong? What animal has sets goals and achieves long-term objectives? What animal has the capacity to compose music? What animal can sing like Anna Grace Webb? What animal has the ability to admire a sunset or a mountaintop or a sunrise on the beach? What animal can do that? Well, man stands alone. We're able to reason and make judgments. Physically, we walk upright. Mentally, we can communicate, well, most of us, in a sophisticated manner. Spiritually, we have the capacity to know the mind and will of God. God's image and likeness, though, has been damaged. It's been defiled. It's been marred and corrupted by sin, but not destroyed. Now, watch this, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says that in Adam all die. Why is that? Because of sin. But in Christ all are made alive. Isn't that great news today? And so in that new birth process, that work of sanctification begins. God begins to restore all that Adam forfeited in the garden. Aren't you glad about that today? I'm so glad about it, I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture to you over in Psalm 139. This is my wife's favorite passage, I think. Psalm 139, verses 14 and 16. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance before being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Wow. Doesn't that reveal that God created us for representation? We're made in His image and His likeness. What a blessing that is. And the reason that He has not given up on us is because one day you're going to rise up and give Him glory. You were created for His glory. And some of you are doing that even now, right now. I was so thankful to watch our worship team give God glory today. That's what this is all about this morning. And so you're something special, my friend. You're something special. You're not some piece of garbage. You're not some accident. You are special. You're made in the image and likeness of God. Somebody shout, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, God created us not only for representation, but for rulership. Watch this. Go back to Genesis 1. I'll go back to Genesis 1. And God created us for rulership. The second part, verse 26, says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. Wow, that's an amazing verse. Look at verse 29. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be. God gave Adam everything. And he was to have dominion over the entire earth, the planet. So God not only created Adam, he crowned Adam, didn't he? Adam named all the animals, told them what they were going to do, told them where they were going to go, told them what kind of experience they were going to have. He had dominion over the animals. He ruled over them. He also ruled over the earth. He was able to work and provide for his family. And guess what, guys? Work was easy. It wasn't frustrating. It wasn't hard. And David, his corn that he grew, it grew up to just be huge and had bunches of, cobs of corn. Gobs of them. I mean, work was easy. Oh, mercy. Pleasant, pleasurable. By the way, David's got a great looking garden. But I want to tell you, it didn't come easy. Amen, David Fry? Well, back in the day, Adam's work was easy. But after the fall, after Adam sinned and rebelled against God, man then had to work by the sweat of his brow, and working became hard and frustrating. But you know what? In some ways, we still subdue the earth. In some ways, we still have dominion. You know, just think about what man's been able to do. We've been able to move mountains. We're builders of dams. We've mined treasure from the bottom of the oceans. We've been to the moon and back. Been to the bottom of the oceans. Discovered the cure for hundreds of diseases, invented tremendous machines and technology, but the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, shows us what it's like to have dominion. He walked on the water. He was the wave walker. He was the mountain mover. You've heard about Jesus and what all he did. He told the wind and the waves to shut up, and the wind and the waves were quiet. That's what it means to have true dominion. He made the lame to get up and walk. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. He told the lepers to heal up and clean up. He even got dead folks up. That's what it means to have dominion over the earth. And then I want to read another psalm to you real quickly, if I can do that. It is Psalm chapter 8. Listen to this. Woo! O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Look at your neighbor and say, do you know you've been crowned with glory and honor? Some of y'all wouldn't do what I ask if it killed you. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Give him praise. He created us to rule over the earth. God also created man for reproduction. Say, uh-oh. Let's go back to this. Now, I want you to say this is God's word. Verse 28, Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Wow. And subdue it. Now, God wanted mankind, humanity, beginning with Adam and Eve, to reproduce. And so he created them, hello, male and female. Y'all, this is biology 101. Okay? He created them male and female so that they could reproduce. And so God gave us the gift of marriage and the family unit. And sex within the confines of marriage is how they were to procreate. Sex within the bonds of marriage. In other words, sex is one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. Reproduction was God's idea. Ooh, Lottie Moon, $100. Thank you, Lottie. All right. And isn't it amazing how we have degraded, listen to me now, devalued and debased God's great gift of sex? As Casey was telling us all about the child trafficking and the sexual abuse going on down in the Dominican Republic, it ain't just happening at the DR, it's all over. Pornography, child trafficking, fornication, sex outside of marriage, adultery, extramarital sex, polygamy, homosexuality, they all contaminate and corrupt the great gift of God. And I want to tell you, there's a reason that sexual sin is an abomination to God, is because it contaminates and corrupts the beautiful picture of a man and a woman in the highest relationship that you can have this side of heaven, outside of our relationship with God. And by the way, a biblical marriage should portray in some ways that picture of Christ and His bride in Ephesians chapter 5. That's another study for another time. But we have messed this up too, hadn't we? And so God's plan for reproduction was to take place between a man and a woman in a biblical marriage. Now, I want to just say a word to all you couples. There are a few folks in here who can't have children. Guess what you can do? You can adopt. And bless God, you can help me raise mine. Hillary did have that right. It takes a village. All of us working together to raise our kids, amen? We ought to be doing that. And by the way, the only way we're going to... The best and easiest and greatest way we can change the culture is for godly Christian parents to raise godly Christian children. That's just, I mean, that's a duh. You know how Muslims take over a country? They move into a country and they start having 8, 9, 10, 12 kids, and in 50 years, guess what? Yeah. That's not rocket science. God created us for reproduction. And by the way, I also want to say this to you single folks. You are not second-class citizens. By the way, God does give some people the gift of being single. My brother Glenn back here. He gives some people the gift of celibacy. And by the way, if you're single, you can be closer to God than your pastor. Hello. And so God created us for reproduction. I've got to finish. God created us finally for relationship. Look again at 127a. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Do you want to know the reason that God made us in His image?
because he wanted to be in relationship with you. He wanted a relationship with you. The God of the ages, the God of the universe, wants to be in a relationship with you and me. That's why he created us. He wants us to walk and talk with him. I get weepy when I start thinking about that. Genesis 3:8 revealed that God would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. Can you imagine walking with Almighty God? But that's why he created us, to be in relationship with us. As a matter of fact, God loves you so much and wants to be in a relationship with you so badly that he moved all of heaven and hell so that he could be in relationship with you. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has put eternity into our hearts. Whew. God wants us to be in a love relationship with him for all of eternity. He created us in the beginning and put us in an absolutely intimate, innocent environment in the best of circumstances. And yet, what did we do? We rebelled against him. But God didn't give up on us. He sent us the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He died for our sins. He was buried so that our sins could be put away. And he rose again. And he's still alive today so that you might have life abundant here on earth and life forever for all of eternity with him. If you hadn't heard anything else I've said today, hear this. God wants to be in a relationship with every single one of you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God loves you with an everlasting love. And I don't care how bad you've messed up. I'm the poster child of messing up. And yet God has what he continues to lift me up and wipe me off and clean me up and use me for the reason that he created me for his honor, praise, and glory. Billy, isn't it awful to try to land a plane, you know? I've got so much more I could say today. But here's the bottom line. Are you in a living, breathing, be real now, living, breathing, walking, talking, vibrant, intimate, growing relationship with Christ Jesus? Are you? Guess what? That's why he brought you here today. You can be. You can be. I don't care if you're backslidden, like Anna Grace was singing about. If you've kind of moved away from him. When you get saved, bless God, it ain't you holding on to him. It's him holding on to you. Some of you need to come home today. And some of you need to be saved for the first and only time in your life that you need to be saved. And you do that by simply agreeing with God, I'm a sinner. And my sins have separated me from you, and I've made a mess of things. And Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the payment that he made for all my sin. And I right now ask you to forgive me. I want to turn from myself and my stuff and my sin, my issues. And I want to receive what Christ did for me by faith. I take it right now. I give you everything that I am to everything that you are. Save me, Lord Jesus. And he will do that right where you sit. And you can begin that relationship that I'm talking about today. Pray with me. Father, you know who's saved in here and you know who's not. You know who's born again and you know who's not. You know who the believers are and those who don't. And you know those of you of yours who are those of us who are yours who have strayed away and walked away and let go of you. Oh God, show us today that anyone can come back home. We give you this time of response, this time of invitation. Do with it as you see fit. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. To God be the glory. Amen. As Andrew leads us, you come, the altar's open. Do what you need to do. Let's all stand.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.